In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son, Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name he giveth power to become sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. Sing praise to the Lord, O you his saints. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd, without whom nothing is secure. Rescue and preserve us that we may not be lost forever, but follow you rejoicing in the way that leads to eternal life. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost
is from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and strong I will destroy, I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. It is not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet. And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder, and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock, they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus might display his perfect patience, as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Fear the Lord, you his saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents that over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Here endeth the gospel. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and the children may come forward for the children's choir.
continue with the hymn of the day.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, as we kick off this CWS season and Sunday school season, this Rally Sunday, this sermon is directed specifically to you literal children of Zion, but of course, it is also for you, the figurative spiritual children of Zion as well. Our Lord's teaching today about the lost sheep and the lost coin give us the opportunity to reflect on three different questions, although they are all very interrelated with one another. How do we view others? How do we view ourselves? And how do we view our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, Luke gives us the setup for this sermon preached by Jesus. There are two groups of two. The first group consisting of the tax collectors and the sinners. Now, remember, at this time, the Jews were under Roman rule, and they didn't like that. And so the tax collectors, because they worked for the Roman government, were considered traitors by many of the Jewish people. And what is in view here when we speak about the sinners is not just any sinner, but those detestable sinners, those untouchable sinners, those sinners engaged in gross public sin. This comprises the first group of two. We have the tax collectors and we have the sinners. The second group of two are those scribes and those Pharisees. Now, these two groups of two are each doing two different things. The tax collectors and the sinners are drawing near to Jesus to hear him, while the scribes and Pharisees are grumbling against Jesus. What is the accusation that the Pharisees and the scribes are making? It is that Jesus is receiving these tax collectors and detestable sinners. And even more than receiving them, he's even going so far as to eat with them. A kind of table fellowship and intimacy that they thought entirely out of place for anyone, let alone the one claiming to be the Messiah of God. But Jesus' entire ministry is constructed around his receiving of these undesirables. At the beginning of Luke's gospel, there is the tax collector named Matthew, who would later author the text of the Gospel of Matthew. By the end of Luke's gospel, we have another tax collector, Zacchaeus. If you children remember the wee little man, right, who climbed down the tree and repented and believed in Jesus and restored everything he had stolen fourfold. But this makes sense. We heard a couple weeks ago, the Lord is calling not the spiritually fit and finished, but the poor, the lame, the crippled, the blind, the outcasts. This is who Jesus is receiving and eating with. This complaint that he is doing so is met by Jesus' preaching of the lost coin and the lost sheep. His point is really very simple. It is crystal. Which of you, having a lost sheep, wouldn't go and find it? Which of you, having a lost coin, wouldn't sweep the house and find it? What you would do for a sheep and for a coin, I am doing for sinners. In the same way, according to cultural custom at the time, that you would, upon finding your sheep, call together your friends and neighbors and rejoice. In the same way, when you find the coin, you call together your friends and neighbors. I rejoice when a sinner repents. Instead of grumbling against me and criticizing me, you should be rejoicing with me, because the lost sheep and the lost coins are being brought back. That which was lost is being found indeed. If you are going to grumble and be grumpy about it, you are on the wrong side of heaven, because even the angels of God rejoice when a single sinner comes to repentance. It is a beautiful sermon and a beautiful message. It invokes for us that first of the three questions I mentioned. What do you think about others? Do you have the same heart towards them as the Lord Jesus does? What do you think about others who come with a very off-putting appearance? Do you judge them and send them away? What about when we discover quote-unquote sins about other people? They don't listen to the right music. They don't dress the right way. They don't eat the right kinds of food. They don't hold the right kinds of opinions. They go to public school, goodness gracious. They go to private school or home schools, goodness gracious. What is our attitude towards others? What is our attitude towards those others whom our Lord seeks, whom our Lord wishes to draw to himself, that have committed real, actual sins? Murderers, or those who have had abortions, or thieves, embezzlers, serious sinners that our Lord is seeking and is seeking to find and draw to himself. What is our attitude towards them? We are to cry out to the Lord for mercy. Mercy for them and for ourselves. When they repent, we are to rejoice. Our Lord says, I have not come for the righteous, but for sinners. I have come specifically for this purpose, to seek and to save the lost. What is our attitude towards others, and what is our attitude towards ourselves? The two are very much related. When our Lord ends his first parable saying, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance, you can almost hear the exaggeration dripping off his lips. There are no 99 who are righteous, only those who think they are. With that number 99, he draws us back to the one sheep that was lost and the 99 who were left. He invites us to reinterpret the parable and invites us to see ourselves in the place of the lost sheep, the lost coin, not in the place of the 99. This is not to say that in order to understand God's grace, we should go and live like lost sheep or try to be a lost coin. That is not the point at all. But the point that is, we should humble ourselves and begin to see the truth about ourselves, that we, like the sheep, have gone astray. And even though God may have given you immense intellectual gifts, spiritually speaking, you are just as dumb as a sheep. You are just as dumb as the rest of us, bound to get lost and unable to follow your shepherd. There is a call to see ourselves in the lost coin too, in the darkness, in the dust, in the grime. Utterly helpless to have ourselves be found. Only when we see ourselves in this light can we begin to see others the way we ought to see them. We have no idea what they are going through, and honestly, we have enough sins of our own to worry about. So our Lord invites us to consider how we see others and ourselves. When we see ourselves accurately as the lost sheep and the lost coin, we will rejoice when another lost sheep and another lost coin is found. Will we come to see Christ as he is, as the good shepherd who searches and the woman who sweeps? Indeed, if we permit ourselves to see our Lord's parables through the cross and with a little bit of poetic license, we can see that this good shepherd follows you and me individually as lost sheep, that he tracks us down and finds us. And there we are, lost, helpless, unable to save ourselves. Imagine that we are lost and we are stuck in some thorn bushes. He searches and finds, and into the thorns our good shepherd reaches his hands, being pierced. Reaching still further, his whole body is lacerated, and reaching the final few inches, his head is wrapped in the thorns. Covered in wounds of pure love for you, he picks up you as his sheep and lays you upon his shoulders. The Middle Eastern shepherds say that when a sheep is lost, even when its shepherd finds it, it will not follow, it won't hear his voice, it'll just freeze. And so it is with ourselves. The Lord Jesus puts us on his shoulders. He picks us up and he carries us. Now that sheep is covered in mud. It weighs 70 pounds and it isn't potty trained. And so the shepherd becomes quite dirty. In the same way, our Lord bears each one of us back, made dirty with our sins. So too, our Lord Jesus, much like the woman who's looking for the coin that is lost bears the expense of lighting that lamp, the lamp of God's word, which he pays for with his own death. Sweeping until his hands are raw, he stoops down into the dust, into the grime, and picks up that coin, dirtying his own hands, bearing our sins, and he washes it clean, just as he washes us in the waters of holy baptism. And in both cases, he calls his friends and his neighbors to rejoice. And rejoice we do, for individually and for each and every sinner he has drawn into his church. We rejoice, saints and angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven. There is nothing more precious, more beautiful, more wonderful than this. Our Lord is the one who searches out the lost, the lonely, the afflicted, the tax collector and the detestable sinners, sinners of every kind, and only sinners. And the more we come to know ourselves as we are, the more that we can understand why St. Paul can write those beautiful words. Christ Jesus came into the world in order to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. That is the absolute worst. That in me, a despicable sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as a template, an example for those who believe in him unto eternal life. In other words, Paul is saying that if the Lord Jesus can bear with me, if the Lord Jesus can forgive me, he can also forgive you. You can see Paul's great humility and the power behind those words and why the Holy Spirit used him mightily as the greatest missionary the world has ever seen. You see that Christ doesn't begrudgingly seek you. He doesn't begrudgingly welcome you. He seeks you passionately. He welcomes you joyfully. And here he brings you healing and peace. And we rejoice over sins forgiven, sins buried as deep as the depths of the sea. With him we all rejoice, a family of sinners redeemed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, loved so deeply that he gave his own life that we might live. You, dear children, are Jesus's little lambs. So rejoice. You are not lost. You are found. And rejoice when our Lord seeks and finds others. Amen. You rise for the offertory. Our Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven to seek after us lost sheep and to bring us home rejoicing. Let us call upon him in thanksgiving and petition for ourselves and all people. O Father in heaven, we pray to you through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. Grant that we may daily recognize that you provide for our every need of body and soul. We praise and bless your holy name for these gifts from above. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you call pastors and set them to the task of shepherding your people. Bless them in their work of providing your gifts to those you have gathered, and as they seek those who have wandered away, especially the Reverend David and his wife Barbara. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, look with favor on the households of this congregation, and grant that all may live in love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our King, you appoint princes and all governing authorities. Remember those who you have placed in authority over us, and grant that they might fulfill their responsibilities according to your word and for the good of your people. Protect and guard our armed forces as we remember the September 11th attack, especially Sean, Austin, and Thomas. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, you heal and deliver. Hear our cries for all who are in need of strength and rescue, especially Harold, Esther, Amy, Mary, Terry, Jim, Pam, Aubrey, Barbara, Charlotte, Maya, Wanda, Kenny, and Patricia. We also pray that you bring peace and comfort to the family of Marvin, whom you have received into glory. Assure them of your grace and mercy towards them and towards him, and assure them of the confidence of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, your Son, who drew near to eat with sinners, now feeds his people with his own body and blood. Gather your people as a shepherd gathers lost sheep. Remove from them whatever is contrary to sound doctrine, and give them repentant hearts that they might rejoice with angels in heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Most merciful God, remember your baptized children who have wandered from the household of faith. Pursue them as a shepherd who seeks lost sheep. Strengthen their families to persist in prayer and confidence in your faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, all things are yours, and you have promised to well supply us with all that we need. Give us courage and faith that we may give a confident amen to these prayers, certain that you will give us all that is good and beneficial to our salvation, and preserve us from all things harmful for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom, with whom, and in whom be all honor and glory, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. 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 Well, of course, the biggest news this morning is that our brother in Christ, Marvin, has departed to be with the Lord yesterday. The funeral and visitation is coming up. There is a slip in the back of the church to pick up to get those times. The visitations are going to be on Thursday, September 15th at 2 to 4 p.m. and 5 to 8 p.m., and that's going to be at Zwick and Jan's funeral home in Decatur. So if you can make that, please do. And the funeral, of course, then will be on here, September 16th at 10:30 a.m. And the family and the body will be here before the service as well, if you want to come and do some visiting then as well. Please keep the Grody family in your prayers this week as they are mourning this loss. And also rejoice, right, that Marvin has been taken to be with Christ, that he has been glorified, and that he is awaiting the resurrection of the body. This afternoon, don't forget that St. Thomas is having its anniversary dinner and service. The pre-service music will start at 3:45. And that'll be nice, fancy music because he's on his way. Cantor Machnummer from the seminary will be playing a nice piece for that. Concordia weekday school begins, which is why we have Rally Sunday this morning, and we're very excited about that. So everyone first grade and up is invited to join us at 6 p.m. Wednesday night through 7:15. And of course, for 7th and 8th graders, that means confirmation is beginning, so make sure you are there for the first class on Wednesday, and I look forward to going through Luther's Small Catechism with you this year. The Foundations of the Faith class will be meeting for its second session next Sunday after church If you missed the first Sunday, I do have a digital copy available that we recorded. And so just talk to me about that, and we'll figure out how to get that to you. The LWML Fall Rally is on September 24th. Look at details here in the bulletin, and of course, Family Fun Night, September 24th at 6 p.m. Please RSVP for that if you have not done so already, and let Jessica, Carol, or Karen know that if you're willing to help. The Fall Supper will be held on October 8th. And is there any other announcements that I have missed? Okay. I wanted to finish the service today with a brief explanation about a piece of the liturgy. You guys seem to appreciate when I went over the history of that hymn the other week, so I thought I would do that on non-communion Sundays. One of the things when you guys were interested in calling me that you asked was to make sure that I was comfortable with using the hymnal, and so I thought it was a good idea that we could spend a little bit of time after the service just going through the different pieces of the liturgy quickly, because you're right to cling to your hymnal, but you might not know exactly why, and so we will go through the different pieces over the course of the next year. And we'll start just today with the invocation, right? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and I make the sign of the cross over you. And that begins the service, marking it off as this gathering is different than any other gathering in the world, because it is God who has gathered us together, right, as his people, and he has gathered us together in his name, which he has given to us in holy baptism, right? Which is why I begin the service with the invocation down here by the baptismal font, because this is the baptismal reality that you are the children of the Father through baptism, and he gathered you into his kingdom through baptism, and thus we begin and enter the service in remembrance of that baptism, right? And I make the sign of the cross as a reminder that you have been redeemed of your sins through that cross, and that forgiveness has been given to you in baptism and promised to you in baptism. And if you so wish, the tradition also is that you would respond when I make the sign of the cross by putting your fingers together as a three, marking the Holy Trinity, and you cross yourself forehead, down, left, right, center, right, to receive that sign of the cross, right, in acknowledgement and remembrance of your baptism. And so that is the invocation. And we'll move on to the confession and absolution next week. Depart in peace.